Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. We just passed 2 p.m. In studio, we have Dom Covington, the owner of Crispy Sips. Dom, first thing I have to say is it's kind of amazing you've been successful because you're not very attractive. People obviously look past that, you know, and take you on your character. Nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, same here. Thanks for having me.
So we've been learning about your background. You're a St. Louis guy.
Yeah.
Went to SLU.
Yeah. So my wife and I, both from the area, grew up out west. Actually went to rival high schools, but didn't know each other at the time. Met in college, and then kind of here we are with a 2.5-year-old daughter, and then doing a thing with Crispy Sips.
Yeah, fantastic. So walk me through it. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah. So it kind of started where, so when my wife was pregnant with my daughter, she became like a Diet Coke demon. Like, that was like her
familiar.
It was like going to QT all the time to get a drink. And then that kind of evolved into, we kind of heard about dirty sodas, and then like 2024 Thanksgiving, we're out in like Phoenix and we knew if there's a chain out there that people are familiar with and we wanted to try, cause when we travel, like we prioritize like food and drink, like that's our thing.
Yeah.
And so we're like, let's try some dirty sodas. And we did, and we liked them a lot, but then we realized there's nothing like this back home in St. Louis. So for like probably 6 months, we like toyed with the idea, thinking about it, maybe, maybe not. And then we're like, why not? Like, let's just like sign up for a farmer's market to see what happens.
Yeah.
And then first market, we're out in Wildwood and it kind of just like took off. And honestly speaking, the timing was right because with that show, like Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, that kind of like the concept's not new, but that show kind of brought like newfound attention to the drink.
Yeah.
And so that kind of helped like really kind of kickstart everything.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, going to Candy Bill's in Wood River, Illinois with my dad and having real cherry Cokes, like sitting at a bar and then making like, you know, cream soda floats and things like that. So like I've been doing this since way back.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about this. I haven't had one since I was 10 years old. So.
All right. Yeah. I'm excited to give you all a try.
Yeah. What these look like. Start doing it, man.
Yeah,
and walk us through like how the process, you know, happens.
Yeah. So for those that aren't familiar with what a dirty soda is, so it's just take any soda, like your typical Sprite, Dr. Pepper, Coke, and we just add in syrups and cream. And so the cream is what makes it like quote unquote dirty.
Okay.
And so with that, it kind of originated out west, like in the Mormon community. That's where it became popular just because when they want caffeine, they don't drink coffee. So soda is kind of like the fix.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So some folks will kind of think like, hey, did y'all come up with the concept? And answer is no, we didn't come up with it. We're just, I think, trying to kind of pioneer the introduction of it to the Midwest and specifically St. Louis.
Yeah. Stealing from the Mormons. Steal away.
Hey, good ideas are good ideas.
Yeah, they're not going to hear about it.
Exactly right. And so the ones we got for you guys, so I'm glad that y'all had a chance to peep the menu and kind of take a look at them. So we have a variety here. So we've got a couple here that have got, you know, one's got a Sprite base, one has Dr. Pepper, one's got Coke. We've got one of the energy options that we also offer as well. So I'll get these drawn up for you guys.
Here. Dom, how difficult is it? Like, I'm an idea guy.
Yeah.
I am not a follow-through guy. So once you had the idea and you're going to do it, and you're like, okay, we're going to need cups and we're going to need this and that. Like, how difficult is that?
Yeah, so I'll be honest, I'm kind of the same way most of the time. But this is the one thing where it's kind of like the barrier to entry seemed a little bit more, like, tolerable in terms of getting started. So it was kind of just been baptism by fire. Like, we're like, let's just like go out and buy a handful of things. And we actually did a trial run in our backyard for like friends and family just to kind of figure out like, what does this actually look like in practice and try to like kind of work out the kinks. My wife is a killer when it comes to like design and decor. So she's the aesthetics of everything, the design of the logo, everything that we all, I mean, even the recipes for the drinks, that's really all her. But we just done a lot of research. So like our house, it looks like Costco, man. It's like stacks of sodas and syrups because we're always doing R&D and trying to figure out new combinations. And what's unique about our business is every week we offer what's called a sip of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like a 1 or 2 day only offering.
Yeah.
Like for this weekend, for 4th of July, we have something called the firework. So it's like a cup lined with marshmallow fluff. It's got boba at the bottom. It's got blue raspberry syrup, Sprite. It's topped with like some like red, white, and blue like peach ring type candy.
Mm-hmm.
So we always like to offer something that's kind of unique,
timely,
aesthetically pleasing, and very timely as well.
Hey, Andrew, can you hear me? Come on in, brother.
Yeah.
I got to
come on in.
You got to come in physically.
Oh, in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. The drinks are in here, bro.
I mean, this is like his Super Bowl.
Yeah. Andrew is very eager for the soda, and so am I. So am I.
Did Andrew get the energy drink one? Did I pick that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the dumbest question ever. Did Andrew pick the energy drink one?
Dom, you brought up a farmer's market earlier. I see you guys are at the Kirkwood Farmer's Market all the time.
Yeah, it's a staple for us.
Yeah, just kind of talk about that community that you can build up with a farmer. I've met so many people who start at a farmer's market, and they're able to build this incredible base of the same people coming back week after week, and they're super passionate.
Yeah, honestly, that's been I think one of our favorite parts is you always hear about people having like regular customers, but like now we're living that. And then like the Kirkwood Farmer's Market, that was one of the first markets we did. And that's one where what's nice about having kind of the tent set up and being at a farmer's market is you get to converse with the customers as they're ordering and as they're making their drink. So it's not like we're shutting a door, going in our trailer, and then we come back and give them the drink and that's it. It's like the transaction extends beyond the actual product and it goes into a conversation. So like we know these folks by name. We know what their favorite drinks are. And some of them travel far and wide. Well, folks that will come to the market at Kirkwood, and then they'll drive to like Lake St. Louis and see us there in the same day.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So it's like people are really loyal. Yeah. And I think they just appreciate like just being able to try something new, but also having folks that are personal and want to get to know them and like their story and like why they want to try the drink. Yeah. So that's been, I think, a really fun surprise for us as we've develop the practice.
Do you have and don't let talking get in the way of making these sodas.
I was like, give me my drink.
I'm worried about Andrew doing something. He's right next to Dom. What is if you can share it, if it's not like proprietary information, what's the dream? Where do you guys want to end up?
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, from here, so we still operate out of a tent, and so I think the next step for us would be some sort of brick and mortar. We're kind of like in the space of we're always looking. We're just trying to be really intentional about acting on it. In a perfect world, we'd love the drive-through setup because really for us, from a business standpoint, volume is the name of the game.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, I think, more realistic and feasible when you've got a quick, when it's based on convenience and folks can pull up, grab a drink and go.
Yeah.
Like we've got a 2.5-year-old. So like if she's napping in the car, I can't just, I mean, it's a heat wave out here. I can't just park.
Right.
And go away. I need to be able to get it and go. And so ideally it would be something like that where it's a brick and mortar, but I'd say ideally a drive through where it's convenience and speed. Honestly, kind of like a Chick-fil-A-esque setup where it's like, no matter how long the line is, you know, it's going to move because you're efficient.
Yeah.
So that'd be it in a nutshell.
What is it? Seven Brew? Is that the new hot coffee place that's coming to St. Louis? Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm kind of picturing is
you're
let's go
get
crispy sips.
You're spot on like that exact type of kind of setup.
Andrew, you're so quiet.
he's over here staring.
Is this like church for you?
He's like staring. Like
I want to ask Andrew.
I like the way he pours.
Because I know Andrew spent a lot of time looking over the menu and making his selection.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew, why don't you tell us about the drink that you're getting and what led you to this decision?
Well, I really like the Alani energy drinks. And so this is an Alani cherry base, which is my favorite energy drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got a little raspberry and a little strawberry.
Yeah.
And then some cream in that.
Oh, Andrew.
And it looks very good. It's a very pleasing
hold it
color.
Up to the camera. There you go.
Oh, it looks
it's
so
It's a very
pretty.
Pleasing color, it which is, I'm big on. The color has to be right for it to be. Thank you.
He is our sommelier for really all good. Things.
I was going to say, Dom, I'm the king of live endorsements, but if you're ever going to advertise, your
Andrew,
boy's right
man.
There.
Yeah. This is kind of my... I'm not really like a drinker. I don't do any drugs or smoke or anything. This has kind of been my life.
This is my drug.
I like a fun drink treat.
Especially when it's energy-filled.
And so I've really been enjoying as this becomes like, you know, a more and more popular thing out in this area.
Yeah.
I've really been enjoying it.
I do a lot of drugs, but I'm pretty happy about this too. So.
All right,
yeah,
this is perfect.
This is Rachel's.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Ooh,
I
kind of
can't believe
too.
How good this is.
I love seeing you this happy.
I know.
Andrew's like, remember well, when I've you're never, like 6 years old on Christmas morning? Yeah. That's Andrew.
Well, I've had fun drinks like this before. Never had one with the cream in it, and I've always been a little wary of that.
Yeah.
So it's excellent.
It's funny you mentioned that.
It gives kind of like a, almost like a shortcake-y kind of sweetness to it, the vanilla does.
And that's a lot of folks, they are reluctant sometimes with the cream, because it's like, it broken apart, it sounds kind of odd, but when it's all together, it makes sense and it works.
And we should mention, if anybody is wary of like super sugary drinks or anything, everything that we are drinking, he does sugar stuff, but everything we're drinking is sugar-free today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we do sugar-free, we do dairy-free.
And even the mixes or just the sodas?
No, the syrups. So all the syrups that you're having, all sugar-free.
Really?
Yeah, because we have quite a few regulars that are diabetic.
Okay.
And so, like, this is, like, for them, they've got far fewer options. So right, for them, right. Like, their vice is, like, I could have a sugar-free dirty
that's
soda.
Great.
So we love being able to accommodate little things like that when we can.
So oh, look at that fancy spoon.
So speaking of my dad and Candy Bills and the Cherry Cokes, I got the Vintage Icon. Right, which is Diet Coke and the cherry and the cream. It is excellent. I didn't expect it to be bad. It is so much better than I expected it. Sometimes I can be sort of a texture guy where it's a little bit off-putting. This is wonderful.
Hey, guys, mine is whipped cream.
So Julie Lally is on the stream, and she says, Thirsty Thursday. This is kind of the ultimate Thursday for the stream. And then Brian is saying, oh, did Dom say there was a Wildwood location? But you were saying you guys are out at the farmer's market
there? Yeah, so the first market we did was the Wildwood Farmer's Market, but we haven't been back there since. So the Staples, you can find us at Kirkwood every Saturday. And then most Saturdays, you can find us at Lake St. Louis at the same time in the morning. And then we often pop up, like this week, Friday and Sunday, we'll be at Amy's Cake Pop Shop in Webster Groves.
Hmm.
But if you follow us on social media, so TikTok or Instagram specifically, my wife always announces where we're going to be, the times, the days, everything, because sometimes it can change. But there's multiple ways and locations you can get a drink every week.
Very nice.
Look at that, Andrew.
So yours is fancy. So
I know. Mine's taking a lot of assembly.
So
this
one, it's called the Cinny Roll. So this is brown sugar cinnamon syrup. It's got some Dr. Pepper. It's got cold foam. It's got brown sugar cinnamon on top. And then we use this one in a sip lid. So this is actually one that was a seasonal drink, but people liked it so much and they asked for it so much that we just kept it as a staple on the
drink. All right.
Damn, Wheeler, you're like a medieval king over there.
I'm just like, yeah, look at this. This is a drink fit for a king.
And I just want to say mine is delicious, too. I got the Sorry Mom, the sugar-free Sorry Mom, which is Sprite, blue raspberry, green apple, and cream. It is so good. Thank you.
There guys. You can take a peek at that.
I'll give you a shot in case you want to use that, too.
Dom, who makes them better, you or your wife?
Oh, I see.
So she does, hands down. So she's the mastermind behind all the recipes.
Yeah.
I'm usually there just to kind of provide either some ideas here or there or to taste test.
Yeah.
I've got my own kind of concoctions that I'll put together, but really she's the one that's doing kind of the front of the house stuff of just like coming up with the drinks, the ideas, the names. They always have a fun name.
Yeah.
Whether it's the regular one.
This is just ridiculous, by the way.
So it's like
drinking a Cinnabon.
It looks like it.
I feel like I know your wife already from your description.
Yeah.
And I think I'm afraid of her. if you invent something, are you a little sheepish or are you like, hey, you got to try this?
Yeah. I'd say I'm a lot more willing to explore. I think my flavor profile is a little bit kind of more adventurous than hers.
More eclectic. Yeah.
But we work really well where she'll do a really great job coming up with the concept, and I can kind of help add like little tweaks or just kind of share like, here's my thought in terms of, because that's when it comes down to the ratio. And that's really what separates the different businesses you'll see is some folks use more cream, some use less. We love to use like local soda whenever we can. So like a lot of the times our sips of the day, we'll have like Fitz's root beer or we'll use like Vest.
Very
we'll
cool.
use like Ski. Like shout out to
Sonoma. Ski.
So like things like that. So we try to find these ways to like make things local when we can. And that's where like we'll kind of just toy with like even with our upcoming partnership and collaboration with like Clementine's, it's like, do we use like what base soda do we use? So that's kind of where we'll like, I mean, honestly, there'll be days where we'll have like 10 cups on our counter, all full of drinks that we're just like, and sometimes it's the Alani's and we're like, by the end of it, our hearts are just like jumping so much caffeine, but we got to figure out what folks will like. So
I really hearing you talk. You can tell you're having fun by the way you're talking about this and the way you describe the process. And that I've got to believe that comes through just if you're doing a pop-up, if people are coming to see you, I'm assuming it's everybody's having a really good time.
That is hands down. The best part is serving. Like when we're at the markets and it's the behind the scenes is a little more challenging at times. It's like kind of like the non-sexy stuff, if you will. But at the markets and we're serving and talking to folks and we see our regulars, like that is hands down. That makes it all worth it. Those four hours on a Saturday, for sure.
So crispysips.com, and then you're all over the social media.
Yeah.
Same stuff. You can find it pretty easy. How often are you out?
Yeah, so every weekend. So like right now, we try to be out and about as much as we can. So the farmers markets are like the recurring staple. And then again, we pop up at Amy's Cake Pop Shop in Webster Groves a couple times a week. So usually with that, it's usually one time during the week. And then on Sundays as well, pretty regularly. So a couple days a week right now. Trying to kind of find more ways to make it more of a common thing, which kind of hence leads to like the exploring for a brick and mortar. But we try to get creative. We also do like we're doing some of the food truck Fridays in Tower Grove.
Yeah.
Any other kind of big festivals or things coming up, like Festival of Nations, will be there for that. So we just try to find ways to be out and about when we can.
Well, this is cool. You have access to the DGS anytime you want it. We're going to be friends. Not as good as friends you're going to be with Andrew. But congratulations. Continued success.
You. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate having me. And yeah, if we can ever join y'all again, happy to bring some drinks along. And come see us at the Marcus. We got you.
Anytime, man. When she smiled. All right. What do we got coming up at 2:30? Eh, nothing. Just us. Today is Made in the USA Day and World UFO Day.
Oh.
And it's also I Forgot Day.
I forgot.
That's a lot of days.
Yeah.
What day is it? I forgot.
I forgot. That seems like a lot of days.
Just drinking my...
They're so good, aren't they?
They are extremely good.
This is
it's better than I thought it was going to be. Same.
Like I was looking forward to it, and I was like, oh, that's going to be good. And it's even better than I was expecting.
Very sad. Small towns, sort of like St. Louis County, are canceling their fireworks displays because they can't afford them anymore.
Hmm.
It's kind of sad.
Well, we were talking on the break last hour how expensive fireworks are these days, right, Wheels?
Yep, they're crazy. I mean, and that's if you just go buy them at the tents. I can't even imagine doing the big citywide ones. But it makes sense when you think about just the general cost of everything being up, right?
The average, okay? Average. How many scoops of ice cream per week does the average American eat during the summer?
26.
40.
Per week? I'm going to say 5.
See, you're the only reasonable one. These two fools.
Who eats one scoop at a time?
Well, it's per week. You're eating 26 scoops
per week. It was
per
week?
Yeah.
Okay, so 40 times 7. So, 280.
I was shocked at how much it is. 11 scoops.
Yeah, because it's going to be almost 2 a day. Everybody eats 2 scoops.
But I eat ice cream maybe twice a week at the most.
I was an ice cream person, and I don't eat it every day. I mean, 11 does seem like kind of a lot. I would have thought the honest answer is like 3.
In the summer, it's like literally every day for me.
Really?
Yep.
Today?
Yeah, I eat a lot of ice cream.
Like later on tonight, at home.
You ate ice cream yesterday?
Yep.
What's your go-to?
What a life.
This one was cherry vanilla Tillamook brand, the black cherry one.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Makes a good ice cream.
Everything you do is fancy. Nothing, wanna put my tender heart in a blender. Watch it spin round to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through with you. I burn like a wicker cabinet. Chalk white and open. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 234. You know what? Up my butt lately.
What's that?
Feedback. I'm so tired. I can't buy a can of Pringles without someone like, we really love your feedback.
Oh my God.
We really love to know. It's like, I'm sure my company does it too. We don't, because we don't give an F what you think. But like, I just, isn't it enough that I bought your Pringles or something off of TikTok or, you know, just take my money. Quit making me work after I've given you my money.
Yeah, you've already gotten the feedback, which is that I bought the stupid chips.
Thank you.
I bought there's your feedback. The feedback is, I went to the store and I saw the chips and I bought them.
And
what more feedback do you want?
I can't imagine ever wanting to give feedback unless it was extreme. Like, this place is terrible. You should never go there. Or like Dom at Crispy Sips, oh, this was great. I really enjoyed it. But 90% of things that I consume are just kind of in the middle.
Well, that's why small business owners live in fear of reviews. Because generally, when people leave a review on like a small business in the area, it's because they are really upset and something really bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rare that you, like, you know, silence is golden. No news is good news. If you eat somewhere and you have a great meal, most people are just like, wow, that was really, really great. Maybe I'll tell somebody about how great it was.
Yeah.
But when you go online, it's always just to complain and, you know, be mad about stuff.
We're going to do some more Throwback Thursday, but first I have to get something off my chest. This really doesn't have to do with Trump. Well, it does, but you'll get it. This new Qatari One, Air Force One that we have, and Trump keeps just bragging and just smelling his own farts about it's the most luxurious plane in the world. It's a, no one's ever seen anything like it. I don't care if it's Trump or Obama or Clinton or whoever we have in the future. I don't want the president of the United States to have the most luxurious plane in the world.
No.
Do I want it to be a rat trap? No. Is it a reflection on our country? Yes. Is it something that we use to impress and intimidate? Of course. But he's not a sultan. He's not a king. He's not, and no American president ever has been or ever should be, and you shouldn't be treated as such. I don't want the most luxurious plane in the world to be the one that flies around the American president. Thoughts?
Same. It should be the safest plane in the world. It should be a secure plane, and it should be a comfortable plane. Right? Because they're doing a lot of travel. It's flying all over the world.
Yeah, like I said.
Comfort's not a problem. But
we don't need him flying Spirit Airways.
We don't need shiny-ass gold stuff. You don't need any of that stuff. It could just look, it can be perfectly fine. I mean, let's be honest. Has there been a plane out there, even with the old Air Force ones, that is better, more well-equipped, better, more comfortable? Like, Air Force One has looked pretty sweet from every depiction I've ever seen of it. I don't recall anybody going, man, this thing's a dump. It's pretty terrible.
Right.
Like, come on.
And yeah, no one was complaining.
And also, like, if your whole thing is, you know, America's the best, why are you walking around saying nobody here could build a plane like this? It couldn't be built like this in America. It couldn't be this good. What do you mean it couldn't be this good? Ask Boeing. They'll build you one. I mean, you got these companies that are doing business with the government, building fighter jets, building all kinds of things, and you're sitting there basically crapping on them, saying they couldn't do what the Qataris do. Yeah, well, they just wouldn't do it for free, you jerk, because the others are trying to buy influence with you.
Now, I will say something kind of bad about Trump, because yesterday, by his own admission, his own words, the story changed. And he said that he became aware of this plane and said to the Qatari leaders, I would like to use it. And the story I heard, now this is all just inside information, just take it with a grain of salt, but the story I heard was that they were going to sell it to us, and he somehow did his voodoo magic and got it for free. But they didn't approach us. He approached them and said, I would like to use this plane sometimes. And that's how we got it.
So basically,
I'm not okay with that either.
No.
Anyway, Rach, any thoughts before throwback?
I'm kind of with you guys. I always think it's silly when it's like, we need $50 million to revamp the government headquarters for blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fine. If the roof's not caving in, just use the same old building.
Well, you know what?
I don't care about impressing anyone. Like, I just, why do you need it to be luxurious?
I know that Trump preaches that everything's the best. It's never been better. No one's ever seen anything like it. The economy is red hot. Dude, you're living a very different life than we are, okay? Earning $2 million or $2 billion last year while you're in the Oval Office. We're not having that kind of experience.
No.
We're trying to buy groceries. And you can buy a plane ticket for about the same amount as it costs you to go buy your groceries. It's just very expensive out here. We just did a story about how local communities are canceling fireworks on the 250th anniversary because they can't afford it. So I won't speak for everyone, but I'm not super excited that you're flying around in the most luxurious plane in the world while we're trying to buy the G.I. Joe the Kung Fu Grip.
Well, meanwhile, all the rest of the jackasses in Congress break early. You know, it's 4th of July, so they work Monday and then they take off. They decide, well, we don't need to fix any more problems or do any real work anymore. We're just going to take the whole week because we can. And, you know, come on. You're between the legal insider trading if you're in Congress to this, you know, what, half-assed, what do you work, 8 days a month? Yet you're getting full benefits, pension for life. You get to go away for 4 months and nobody gets to ask any questions why. Like, why do we accept this?
It has very little in common with the way Americans live.
Why do we just say, you know, I guess that's just the way it is? Why don't we do something about it? Like, why are we so, and I'm including me. Why are we all so just willing to take it and just be like, oh, well, you know, Going to get mad at someone who's like me instead of getting mad at the people that are ripping me off on a day-to-day basis on the tax dime.
There's an article on Drudge today, Wheels, that addresses your exact point. And their point is, based on surveys and studies and what they can put together, that they, the government, our leaders, have figured out that we don't care enough to do more than bitch and moan.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure that out.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, if you guys can take them squealing a little bit, we can do whatever the hell we want to do.
Well, we also fall for the bait. We go after the people they tell us we should be mad at. Whatever your alignment is politically, there's someone on your side telling you who you should be mad at.
Yeah.
And then you're getting mad at that, and you're mad all the time about the people that aren't actually doing any damage to your life.
Yeah.
But these are the people that are making every decision they make impacts every one of us. And every time they take 2 years to get something done instead of getting it done in a few months because they refuse to work, they refuse to compromise, they only care about fundraising and getting reelected. Doing the job at a high level doesn't even matter at this point.
Yeah.
But we're okay with it because our anger's directed incorrectly at people that aren't actually the ones that are damaging us.
Agreed. Couple more throwbacks, Rach?
Yeah, let's go. 65 years ago, July 2nd, 1961, Ernest Hemingway took his own life. That was 35 years after his father killed himself.
Yeah, so sad.
And his granddaughter, Margot, also took her own life. I mean, just a terribly, terribly sad situation mm-hmm. for that family. 62 years ago in 1964, President Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, which outlawed racial segregation and prohibited employment discrimination. 62 years ago. Mm. 55 years ago.
So let me just drill down on that. Mm-hmm. I was alive before the Civil Rights Act.
No, because you're not 62 yet.
Thank you.
You were alive right after the Civil Rights Act.
Let me just drill down. The Civil Rights Act predates me. Sorry.
55 years ago in 1971, the original Shaft was released.
Shaft.
Starring Richard Roundtree. It was remade in 2000 with Samuel L. Jackson as his son. And then there was a 2019 version. I did not know about this film. That had both of them teaming up with a third generation of Shaft. I'm not sure who played
I didn't see
Baby
the most
Shaft.
Recent.
Me neither. I didn't even know
Richard Roundtree. Richard Roundtree was the original.
Yeah.
He was the OG.
Yeah. Sam Jackson did a pretty good job. In that middle one.
50 years ago in 1976, the Supreme Court ruled that the death penalty was not inherently cruel or unusual. And 46 years
Hold
ago...
Hold on. I have a story about that.
Okay.
This is why I love throwback, because it just brings up things. This was already in my show prep today. Idaho is going to go back to, or at least give the choice to the condemned, to be executed by firing squad. And they have elected to not use sharpshooters. They are looking for people from law enforcement to volunteer to do it. And this is going to be a dark thought. But if you're already killing the guy, and if you're already shooting him in the heart from 25 feet or something, why not just cut out the middleman and put one in his head? I mean, if I'm going to be killed, if you guys are going to kill me and you say, hey, we can all get a rifle and shoot you in the chest, or we are going to just put one in the back of your head and you won't even know what happened. You'll be gone. Isn't that much more?
Well, I thought the purpose of the firing squad was to try to not like have someone live with a bunch of guilt. Like right. I was the one who pulled the
That's
trigger.
That's the idea.
And ended
so you won't.
Grow up.
I agree.
Get over it.
How would you take that shot and not at least think that maybe it was you? Like you'd have to have some kind of delusion to be like, wasn't me.
Well, I mean, if we're trying to make them being shot in the heart by three bullets, you're probably not around long.
No,
but it's also probably not instant. And so it just, I think the way we do it is so completely.
Well, the death penalty itself is odd. It's like the state is going to take your life.
And then we're
like,
trying to decide how to do it.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, well, weird justifications and processes that go into that. I'm not surprised that a lot of it doesn't make a ton of sense to us. Okay, a couple more here. 46 years ago in 1980, Airplane was released.
Mm-hmm. What a great movie.
Oh, loved it.
And 35 years ago, it was 1991, and Axl Rose caused a riot during a Guns N' Roses concert outside of St. Louis when he jumped off the stage and attacked a fan who was videotaping.
Jumped on my friend Stump.
Yeah.
Stump.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was like, what was it? When did they come back again? They didn't come back for like 30 something years.
Yeah.
Last time they came back was the first when they redid their tour. I don't know, maybe it was like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. And the first thing he's like, well, St. Louis, it's been a while.
Andrew, I'm going to need crispy sips every day. Welcome back, DGS. I got an existential one for you.
Let's go.
Rach, you were mentioning something that happened, Civil Rights Act in 62. I was reading something last night, and it doesn't matter what the date was about. It just had the date, June 3rd, 1961. And it just hit me like, oh, you didn't exist. And then it made me really drill down on that, like, you really didn't exist. I guess some religious people, I don't even know what religious people think. Like, you were a little spark in the well of souls or something, or God knitted you together at the moment of conception, but doesn't see it just, unless there's something that we really don't know, it just seems like, no, I just wasn't a thing. Not at all.
Okay, can I ask like another existential question to that? What is you? Like, when you say I or you didn't exist, like, well, what does that mean? What do you define as yourself? Is it your thoughts? Because
it depends, because if you believe in an afterlife, then you would have to believe that something other than the meat and the bone and the DNA of Dave is not necessary to exist. Mm-hmm. Something outside of that dead corpse can live on. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, well, what about before? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think I've always pictured that me always existing, and I was just like on the quarter machine, and it's like, okay, Dave, you're up, time to go be born, you know?
Yeah, I think some people believe that you're in heaven prior to being born, but I don't think, like, in like the King James version of the Bible, I don't think it's spelled out as far as where your soul is coming from.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Just something to think about, I guess.
I also thought, what if I could remove three things from the world? And I landed on the Savannah Bananas, Jason Kelsey, and Jelly Roll.
Man.
You're going for deep impact, yeah.
She hears about Jelly
Several
Roll a lot.
Several times a day.
I can't stand that mofo.
Jelly Roll is ruling this man's algorithm.
So I was just going to say, I think at this point, I don't want to blame the victim here, but I feel like perhaps you are seeking out the Jelly Roll more than I don't see any Jelly Roll. I don't know how. I never think about or see Jelly Roll ever.
I've never Googled him. I've never searched him.
But you watch the videos when they're presented to you. That's a hate algorithm is a very real thing.
You're right.
Because
literally every algorithm.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see it's 90% garbage, but it's like it doesn't actively make me mad most of the time. A lot of times if I see something that makes me mad, you can block those accounts, like right when you see them.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that helps me kind of, that's me regulate. Telling them, hey, I don't like this. I don't like this Jelly Roll character.
I couldn't even tell you one of his songs. No offense
to
the Jelly Roll fans out there. Is he a country artist?
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know what he does. Does he rap? I truly do not know.
I know he used to be fat and now he's not. And people liked him better when he was fat, I think.
Do you know who America has picked to be their representative?
For what?
Everything.
Jelly Roll.
Tom Hanks.
What, meet the aliens?
Pretty much.
Okay, the other day I was watching Jeopardy, and Ken Jennings referred to Tom Hanks as America's dad.
Yep.
But he doesn't even really play a dad in that many movies.
He's just dad age.
I guess, but I thought that was kind of an odd, I thought it was an odd connection to me.
Yeah.
I don't think of him in a fatherly way.
Wheels, would you
as a castaway on a remote island?
Would you join me in the Savannah bananas not existing anymore?
I'm done with them. I mean, I've never been into it. It's fine. I'm glad people like it. I'm glad it makes baseball fun for some people. But
I'm glad people like it, but I'm willing to trade their enjoyment for my annoyance.
Oh, I mean, I have no use for it.
What if they offered you $1 million to play on their team?
Sure, I'd take it.
What a whore.
Yeah. $1 million to play baseball?
But you wouldn't give your dog away for $10
billion. Nope. That's different.
That's his little baby.
Can't deal with him.